So if you have a look at Matthew chapter 5, this will be the conclusion of our time in the Beatitudes. And we preach three messages in all the Beatitudes. So we're taking three verses from verse 10 to verse 12. Bless the name of the Lord. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is an amazing thing to say. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. So the persecution itself is a blessing. Now, we don't term that in our context as a blessing, but the Bible says, if we suffer with him, we reign with him. That what happened to the green tree will happen to the dry tree. That a servant is not greater than his master. If it happened to the master, it'll happen to the servant. And he was persecuted. He was the one that lived the Beatitudes to its fullness, and yet he was still persecuted. And he said, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Are you all right?
Yes.
And when you live godly in Christ, you're going to be persecuted. Now, we glory in God's goodness because in our corner of the world, in our cul-de-sac, in the universe, there's hardly anything called persecution. But our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, and the Bible encourages us to think of them in their chains, to think of them in their persecution, as though we are partakers with them of what's happening. Sometimes when we open the door and the key does not even fit and we try to open the thing, we curse. We think it we are hard done by. Grow up. Are you all right? And then it says, blessed are you when they revile you, revile and persecute you. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you and me. Blessed are you and I when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, they not only persecuted the prophets, they persecuted the apostles. You remember when Jesus spoke this, the church was yet to be born. The apostles were yet to be chosen. But the apostles, like the prophets, were persecuted. The apostles, the majority of them died a martyr's death. James, they say, was clubbed to death. Mark was towed by a chariot until the flesh came off his bones. Peter was crucified, and tradition tells us that when he was crucified with his wife on the same day. Tradition tells us that. Whether that literally happens, we don't know. But they said that his wife was, they crucified his wife before Peter, and the reason was that Peter may recant his faith when he sees his wife being crucified. Instead of recanting his faith, he said to his wife, apparently, go on, honey. In a few more moments, we'll be singing praises around the throne of the Almighty. And when they came to crucify him, he said to them, turn me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way my Lord was crucified. Thomas was speared, apparently, by four soldiers in India. We went into the cave where there was this prayer grotto, and I knelt down where he used to kneel down on the stone, and I prayed in that grotto in Chennai, and I stood up and I forgot I was in a cave and I hit my head on the top of the thing. But just about every apostle, like the prophets, were persecuted. The apostles were, most of them, martyred. The only one that was not martyred was John. He died a natural death, but they boiled him in oil 3 times. And apparently they can't boil him in oil, and the oil was not hot enough. Well, the oil was hot enough. He just did not burn, that's all. So they put him in the island of Patmos. Many of us, if we get boiled like that and we put it in an island, we said, I'm living for you. What do you think you're doing? But he said, I was in the spirit on the day of the Lord. And I saw heaven. I saw the revelation. So Jesus speaking to him in the island of Patmos with a mine tin, because they couldn't boil him in oil. And the only one, as far as we know, that died a natural death. So persecution is almost, persecution is a part of who we are. Hallelujah. Let me take you to Mark chapter 10. We'll come back and then we'll preach a little bit more. All right, Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus answered when Peter asked him. Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. Left everything and followed you. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake in the gospel. That's missions. Most of us have not left our kids. Our kids are around us. We haven't left our homes. We haven't left our houses. We haven't left our parents. But this is talking about those that have left. When Peter said, we've left all to follow you. And Jesus said, if you've left all to follow me, there is a reward. And this is what he said. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. You did not know that you got black brothers and black sisters, white brothers and white sisters, brown brothers and brown sisters. We are everywhere. And their land is our land. This land is my land. This land is your land. I know that's American, but... Because we are koinonia, we share everything together. Now, in our context in the West, we don't understand that. But the koinonia means your farm is my farm. Your funeral is my funeral. Your wedding is my wedding. But we don't understand that unless we understand that koinonia is where we are one. And when the Bible says you'll receive lands and mothers and fathers, you did not know that you've got so many fathers and mothers. Hallelujah. And then he says, you'll receive 100-fold in this time. Hallelujah. And eternal life in the age to come. But right in the middle of that is this little word. Let me read it to you. Who shall not receive 100-fold now at this time if you leave, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions. In the midst of all that, there is persecution, and persecution is part of the blessing because we identify with him and with each other. And your pain becomes my pain when the body hurts, when the ear hurts, the whole body hurts. So part of the body's in prison. They're persecuted. We are blessed. And because we are blessed, we ought to help those in the family and part of the body that are persecuted physically and verbally. Are you all right? You want me to rewrite the Bible? Hallelujah. And then he says, but many who are first will be last, and last will be first. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So we shared last week about handling the persecution, handling the difficulties that we face. And we said, if our attitude to the persecution is right, the persecution will cause us to rise. The Bible says, our light afflictions, which is only momentary, works for us. So the persecution actually works for us if our attitude to it is right, if it's godly. It's the attitude, have this mind in you that was also in Christ. And when our attitude to the persecution and the pain and the afflictions of life is good, then everything that comes, even though it's difficult, works for us. A far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, the things that are not seen are eternal. And everything that you see, there is something unseen. Are you all right? There is always something that you can't see behind what you see. What you see often is the product of what's unseen, even though first the natural, then the spiritual, we understand the unseen by what we see. Are you understanding me? When you go to the restaurant, you don't see the kitchen. You just see the food. But behind what's unseen to you is still there. You see the food that is prepared for you, but there's still the unseen behind. You understand that? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Now, when the Bible talks about that, it's talking about another realm altogether. The realm of the unseen. The realm of the unseen is the spiritual, supernatural realm. And we are to look at that realm. To look at Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, let me say something about that realm that is not good. The whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. The devil is called the God of this world. Now you can't see that, but you're living in that world under the power of the wicked one. But the Bible says, but we are of God. And I am more than... I'm not just a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror, because I understand there is a realm that's unseen. Part of that realm is wicked, but the realm of God. Are you all right? And the reason why many are persecuted is because there's an unseen realm that many of us in the West think it's just somebody's figment of their imagination. The demonic realm is real. But we are not to fear a demonic realm. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, you go. You go with the same authority, because behind what you do is the throne of the universe. The reason we battle is not with flesh and blood, but the reason we battle, we fight spiritual warfare, is because there is a demonic unseen realm that is more real than the chair you're sitting on. But we also have a God that is more real. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And so when we go out, you're going to be persecuted. The problem many times is we forget who we are in the persecution. Let me say some things that are very, very normal. Many Christian kids go to uni and lose their faith. Why? Because they're going to be persecuted. And the trouble is they go in there with their eyes wide shut. And they lose their faith. If you're a Christian in an establishment that's professional, you could lose your faith. Everywhere you go, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be reviled. You're going to be talked against because of your standing with Christ. How many countless young people who are on fire for God go to uni and come back and become an enemy of the gospel? Because they were not well prepared. Now, not everybody goes that way, but the ones that it stays true, they come out on fire for God. Because persecution allows you to dig into your foundation so that you know that you know that you know. Even the one that wrote that letter to Martin, it makes you know your foundation, that you are well founded. And persecution works for us because part of it allows, persecution allows us to know who we are. To know the authority that we have. It is a miracle as a church today. If you study the life of Paul and what he went through going from city to city, establishing churches, get locked up and wrote the epistles from jail. If he was not founded on God, we wouldn't have a gospel. We wouldn't have a church. But fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. It is the pleasure of the Father to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. That we may know that we know that we know that we know that we know. I remember reading a book when I first got saved called Daily Guide to Miracles. And I thought, daily, it was written by a man named R. Roberts. And part of those, you know, there are 365 devotions and just little practical ways of living for God. And then there's a story in one of those days during the 360 that I read, and the teacher gave the class a problem. And then he said, I want you to give me the answer tomorrow. And when he came the following day, he said, who's got the answer? And one guy said, this is the answer. And he said, no, that's not correct. And he sat down. He was sure it was the answer. Then a girl got up and said, the answer? And it's the same answer. No, that's not correct. And then a young guy, after about several ones had given the answer, young guys got up and said, the answer is such and such. He said, are you deaf? I've just told the class over and over again, that's not the answer. He said, sir, that's the answer. And he said, good. And everyone complained. But teacher, we told you that. He said, but you did not know. You knew what's the answer, but you were not convinced. Persecution allows us to be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is real, the kingdom is real, God is alive. If I'm too loud, I'm just excited about this stuff, you know. But sometimes we need to be convinced. We need to know what we know, what we know. Hallelujah. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, come hell or high water, you will go to a lion's den, you will go into a fire, and God will get into the fire with you because you're convinced. Sometimes we're not convinced. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That was good.
I don't know if I blessed you, but I just blessed me.
Hallelujah.
Let's have a look at Romans chapter 5. I'll rob some of your minutes. Is that okay? Romans 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. I'll just read that a little bit. And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, but it's also through him that we have access by faith into his grace, and on that grace we stand. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. We rejoice in tribulation. We glory in difficulties. Now that's hard to practice. But James said, count it as joy. It didn't say it's joy. He said, you count it as joy when you encounter opposition and difficulty. Because the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience, having done its perfect work, will make you perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it says here, not only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Hallelujah. Somebody got an old King James Version? There's a new King James and there's an old King James. Anybody here got an old King James Version? No one? You got it? Go back to verse 4. And patience, experience. Now, every other verse is character, but the reason you have experience is because in the difficulties of the persecution and the opposition against you, you move in kingdom power to experience. You experience, you know that God is good, you experience that. And that experience gives you, verse 5, gives you hope, and hope makes not ashamed. The experience gives you hope that what's coming next, you're also going to overcome. Yeah. It gives you hope because you've experienced. It's not a theory. You've experienced God. You've encountered God. And because you've encountered God, it gives you hope because of the encounter experience you've had with God in opposing the things that come against you and you being an overcomer. Now, some people never overcome nothing because they are hoping something. When that kind of hope is there, it'll always bring you shame. But the hope that comes because you encountered God, that hope will never bring shame, because you know and I know that the love of God has been shared abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Yes. Neither death, nor life, nor height, nor depth, nor persecution, nor angels, nor demons, nor things in this world, nor things in the world to come, neither any other created thing shall be able to separate you and I from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. And that love is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and He charges our hope, and that hope will never bring you shame. I'm making me happy twice now. So persecution actually works for us. And that's why the Master said, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed. Blessed are you. Hallelujah. Why are you persecuted? First of all, because you live righteously. In a world of darkness and you want to live in the light, you're going to be hounded, ridiculed, persecuted. Why? Because you want to do the right thing. And then you go back right to the beginning. Why was Abel killed? Because he did the right thing. He wanted to worship God in spirit and truth. He wanted to offer God what God had asked for. Offer the first fruit of his flock. And he got killed for it. So Paul said, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And then Jesus said, but blessed art thou when you're persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Why do they do it? Why do they do it for you or to you? They do it to you and me because of him, for his sake. And the persecution we go through is for his sake. It's not only because you live righteously, it's because of. And as long as you live for him, for his sake. You say, well, I don't want to persecute, but I want to live for his sake. Well, if you live for his sake, hello. It's part of the deal. Hallelujah. And then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. So there is a reward for persecution. Not only do you enter the kingdom because you are poor in spirit, you know your condition, you mourn for your sin, you are given to the discipline of God, you're meek, and all that, but it says you're going to be persecuted, and it says rejoice exceedingly, for great is your reward. So you get into the kingdom, and then you live in kingdom grace, in kingdom power. And you see going through life that even though things may not look the way people should look, the way things you think people should determine, it should be great. But to you, it's fantastic. Why? Because not all your reward is given down here. Great is your reward in heaven. Not only are you blessed down here, not only are you rewarded down here, there is a greater reward. Great is your reward in heaven. And as we said last week, Jesus said, even a glass of water that you give, not in his name, but in the name of a disciple. Maybe you just give it to Mrs. Loveridge. Maybe you give it to a Pastor Stevens. A glass of water that you give to a missionary, by the giving of your substance, your reward is not going to be taken away from you. And if a glass of water, which is something so trivial from our perspective that you take every day, if the reward of giving a glass of water is not forfeited, Can you imagine what it's like when he said, if you leave your father and mother, your brothers and your sister, your land, you're going to have fathers and mothers. You didn't know you have Cambodian fathers and mothers. You didn't know that Samoans were as good looking as I am. And you're related to me. But he says, great is your reward in heaven. Friends, it doesn't end here. It will never end. You're going to keep on living, worshiping him, falling in love with him over and over, over and over, over and over again, forever and ever and ever. You have 6 billion years to have smoko. Hallelujah. You better go have some now.